Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Amy Eddings, in for Brian Lehrer. In case you haven't seen the smudged foreheads, today is Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent, a period of reflection and penitence for Christians in the 40 days before Easter. This year, for U.S. Catholics, it comes just after a scandal in Rome dubbed Vatty Leaks, and on the heels of the controversy over health care coverage for contraceptive services for employees of Catholic institutions. That, among other things, highlighted the differences between church policy and churchgoers' actual practices. Listeners, we'd like to hear from you. How are you marking Lent? And Catholics, what do you make of the recent headlines? When Catholic bishops get involved in Washington politics, does that get you into the pews or running away from them? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to our show page, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Joining me for this discussion is Paul Moses, a former Newsday city editor and senior religion writer, now a professor of journalism at Brooklyn College of the City University of New York. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks.
And thanks for coming in. The Vatty Leaks story probably got extra attention thanks to all the reporters in Rome to cover the consistory and New York Archbishop Dolan's elevation to cardinal this past weekend. Summarize it for me. What got leaked?
There were a lot of internal documents that basically said the Vatican was not doing enough to prevent corruption, mishandling of money, and so forth. And the current papal nuncio to the United States was, I guess, a good guy in this, but the documents made it sound like he was transferred maybe because he was trying to blow the whistle. So that's kind of in some. There was a lot of stuff involved in this, but that's what stood out to me.
The widespread feeling among experts, I understand, is that the confidential letters were an opening salvo in the battle among Vatican insiders jousting for power. Is that your read on it?
You know, I haven't covered the Vatican really closely. I've written about it, and I've been there as a reporter. But they're not the kind of people to leak secrets to reporters normally. There's a lot of loyalty there. I'm wondering if maybe there are some things that people in conscience on the inside feel need to come out. I read a book recently by Jason Berry, Render Unto Rome, that looks at how money is handled. And there were some disturbing things that he wrote about. And maybe this is what a bureaucracy does when it's trying to cleanse itself also. So I have a little different take on it from what I've read about it.
Is there any international inquiry forthcoming, or have these documents raised any concerns among international monetary advisors who would be able to press the Vatican for compliance with on money issues and money transfer issues?
Not that I know of, Amy.
So this is all just really inside baseball right now at this point.
Well, we'll see how inside it is.
Right. So you mentioned this leaked letter was from a high-up Vatican administrator who asked the Pope not to be transferred after he exposed millions of euros and cost overruns. He did get transferred to Washington, D.C. Does that say anything about how Rome views the United States?
I think the United States is pretty important to Rome. Certainly, American money is important, and I think there's a certain affection for it historically.
Now Cardinal Dolan was pretty front and center during the contraceptives controversy as head of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. What do you think carries more political clout, that role or his role as leader of the New York Archdiocese?
That's a good question. They really kind of have combined for him in a lot of ways, and it's almost hard to distinguish between the two. But traditionally, the head of the New York Archdiocese is a figure on the national Catholic scene, but I think the combination has made him very influential within the Catholic Church.
He sidestepped the Vatty Leaks story saying, quote, "I've got enough challenges in New York and we've got enough problems with the church in the United States that I don't need to get my noggin all worried about the gossip that sometimes comes out of the Vatican." What are the problems he's referring to there?
Well, there was an interview in the Times with Sharon Otterman this week where he even spoke about St. Patrick's Cathedral literally crumbling. So that's one problem. But I think he's very concerned about the number of Catholics who have either left the church or are very disconnected from it. And I think that concern also colors how he approaches some of the political issues, which you raised actually in your opening.
We're taking your calls. Thomas from Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Thomas.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, I was saying to your screener that just the fact that this last Wednesday, it's a holy day, and that Dolan's becoming the cardinal. I think it's great. The guy knows his stuff, right? I mean, he's been around for so long. He's really into the. He knows all the. You know, I'm sure he knows the Bible inside and out. And you know, listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with contraceptive. I mean, I use them, but I don't think priests should be using them. You know, he's got some ideas. He's got some principles that we got to stand by. And you know, and it being Ash Wednesday, it seems like a perfect day to kind of be thinking about some of the things that he's thinking about. You know, I mean, I'm thinking about them, and you know, I just want to think what your guest has to say about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Thomas, for your call.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, I think what Thomas is saying is the position a lot of Catholics take, that they may disagree with the church teachings on certain issues, but they like the church. They like the people who lead it. Every time a pope comes to America, there are polls done that say people like the pope, but they don't agree with him on this, this, and this. So that's I think, a lot of what we'll find, and it plays into the issue on the contraception mandate.
Right, and much was made of the statistic that 98% of Catholics have used contraception. Why were the bishops successful then in their push against President Obama's mandate in light of that number? How did they position that argument to win it in the way they did?
Catholics are, I think, closely divided on this issue, and I think one reason the bishops have had some measure of success in pushing the president to take them seriously is that they appeal to moderate and liberal Catholics. They appeal to Catholics across the spectrum by framing the whole matter as an issue of conscience and of freedom rather than as an issue of you must obey the church teaching and obey our authority on contraceptives. So I think that was a smart move on Cardinal Dolan's part to frame the issue that way. Whether it will continue to be framed that way, there are a lot of voices in this discussion within the church, is another matter.
Pastor Michael from Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Pastor Michael Vincent Crea, and I've had my own human rights, peace, and justice ministry for 21 years, One World Life System. So with a degree from Catholic University, but I've chose to exercise my ministry as a non-cleric. The reason doing that is that today, Ash Wednesday, we read from Isaiah, you know, free the prisoner, free the oppressed, feed the hungry, and don't turn your back on your own. It's very sad that most Catholics operate out of an education of the faith that ended in eighth grade. And a lot of their adult decisions, which reflect a regular society, are based on not only reason, but on their beliefs. And what's very disingenuous that they say behind closed doors, if I can give just two examples, which are in the news right now. First of all, when theologians disagree, every person is then required to have an informed conscience and make a decision on their own. There is not one teaching on sexuality that is, quote unquote, infallible. So it's perfectly all right for people to exercise that. And it's this authoritarian paternalism, and I stress paternalism, that's not good to the political discussion of any country. The second thing is that I didn't find out, and you're getting it now free on NYC instead of paying two student loans back, which are over my head, is that of the seven sacraments in the Catholic Church, the only sacrament that the priest does not perform, and a sacrament for those who are unfamiliar with the Catholic Church, a sacrament is a sign of God's love. And it symbolizes God's love. The only sacrament that the priest does not perform is marriage. Mm-hmm. The two persons say the vows. The two persons say I do. The two persons consummate that marriage.
And Pastor Michael, your point on that is?
Well, the fact is all the behind closed doors we're taught, studying to be pastoral ministers, first of all, we reject people from being a nun or a priest every day because of an imposition of celibacy. And we realize not everyone has that as a gift. So you can't say to every gay and lesbian or transgendered person, don't have sex and don't be intimate. And yet behind closed doors, we're told, pastorally speaking, in the, quote, internal forum, which is counseling, is to tell people to find one person and be, with them.
Okay, Pastor Mike, thank you for your comments. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it. I don't mean for this to get into a soapbox for you to parlay a lot of different views about the Catholic Church. Really, what we want to try and focus this on is the current headlines, issues of contraception, and the Obama administration's rollback of some of its mandates as a result of pushback from Catholic bishops and a lot of moderate and liberal Catholics on this issue, framed again by the Catholic bishops as a matter of conscience.
And Amy, it is true that conscience is a very important factor in Catholic moral theology. Just to go a little further, a conscience that's formed in an attempt to understand church teachings and so forth. But it is important, and you'll find it right in the documents of Vatican II, emphasized very strongly. So that's true, and it's probably not always brought out in public discussions about some of these issues, how much a part that is of how Catholics, especially on the more pastoral level, what your priest will tell you in your parish, how much a part of that conscience is. So that's true. And I think what he said about marriage being administered by
that's
the couple
what I learned.
Is
that,
true.
That's true. Yeah. What Pastor Michael brought up and what echoes a thread in a recent piece you did for CNN.com is this issue of paternalism, which I think a lot of moderate and liberal Catholics take issue with when they feel that bishops are getting preachy and telling them what to do and, do what I say because I said so. You wrote, moderate and liberal Catholics won't stand behind the bishops if they perceive a partisan position, and it won't take much to trigger that reaction because certain bishops were transparently opposed to Obama during the 2008 election campaign, and many more of them later maligned the University of Notre Dame for granting the president an honorary degree. You had a suggestion in your article about bishops, if they were to make any hay from their recent victory, both in a real sense and in sort of a public relations victory over this contraceptive clause. And what is that?
Well, I suggested that they continue to frame their arguments in a more moderate way that will appeal to a full spectrum. And I think that also should probably go for arguments that would turn off conservative Catholics too, like opposition to the war in Iraq, which the bishops expressed, maybe not really strongly, but they did. And certainly the Pope expressed strongly. Catholics play a moderating influence in both political parties. And so I think that's a good thing for the country. And, the bishops need to work with that and not simply come across as one-sided.
Your piece was inspired by a letter you saw in The Tablet, the local Brooklyn diocesan paper. What caught your attention?
Well, the Tablet had carried, first of all, a front page headline that quoted a bishop from elsewhere in the country saying, "To hell with you Catholics." And the Reader was kind of saying that was the Obama position. And the Reader was turned off by that tone. And the paper had also carried a column that said Obama was trying to make everyone into socialist robots. And the Reader was turned off to that tone. The Reader clearly was sympathetic to the church's position on this issue and wanted to support it. But seeing things like that turned off the Reader, and she practically pleaded for a more civil, less polarizing tone. And I
do you think Cardinal Dolan brings that tone when he is speaking as the leader of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, as the leader of New York's Catholics?
I think he often does. I think he understands that. Lying behind this whole thing is pretty good social science research showing that people, churchgoers, are really turned off if they perceive their church as partisan. That doesn't apply only to
politically
Catholics.
Politically partisan.
Politically partisan. Whether liberal or conservative, people don't like their religious leaders telling them how to vote. And so the fastest growing category in these surveys is nuns, N-O-N-E-S, right? People who say they don't have a religious affiliation. But they're not people who are necessarily against religion or people who may consider themselves, they may be people who can feel that they're spiritual. they've often migrated away, and this feeling that churches telling them how to think politically is one of the primary causes. There's a very good book, American Grace, Robert Putnam and David Campbell, two very respected social scientists, that spells it out very well.
We'll have to leave it there. I've been speaking to Paul Moses, former Newsday City editor and senior religion writer, now a professor of journalism at Brooklyn College of the City University of New York, the author of The Saint and the Sultan, The Crusades, Islam, and Francis of Assisi's Mission of Peace. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Amy.
Up next, from Italy to Jersey, and it's nothing to do with The Sopranos, Chef Jim Weaver talks about slow food in the Garden State. Stay tuned.